Well, hello.
Fa la 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 la.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I've got a present. I've got.
This was a bad idea.
I've got a present.
Present.
This is great.
You're gonna present your present.
I'm gonna present my present.
Yeah.
I've got present. Present. I've got a present. Why is that one so hard to say?
It's not.
I've got a gift for our audience. My present is
okay.
Jingle All the Way, 1996.
Mm-hmm.
Directed by some guy, produced by Chris Columbus.
Yep.
The guy who discovered America.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, no one's been there before 1492.
No one's been there in the cinematic world.
That's true. Starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. What's that guy's name? Kazam? Sinbad.
Sinbad, yeah.
Yeah, Sinbad. You know that syndrome where people misremember things?
The Mandela effect.
The Mandela effect, yeah. There's a Mandela effect about that guy.
Yeah.
People remember a comedy movie with him in it where he plays a genie and it's called Kazam.
Okay.
Oh, wait. No, it's called Shazam. And the real movie was Kazam with Shaquille O'Neal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people remember that because Sinbad was like a character from the Arabian Nights stories,
mm-hmm.
and the genie as well. So I think that's where people get mixed up a little bit. That's okay. Just my own theory.
Well, I mean, you're assuming watchers of Kazam also have a fairly deep understanding of the 40 Arabian Nights stories. I think in the Venn diagram of those two popularities, there's very little crossover, but maybe.
Oh, and starring Jake Lloyd.
Is that the kid?
Yes. Okay. How do you not know Jake Lloyd?
I don't know who Jake Lloyd is. He's the random kid in a film.
He's the Phantom Menace. He was the titular Phantom Menace in The Phantom Menace.
Well, he was Anakin.
He was little Anakin. Yeah.
Really?
How do you not know that?
I haven't watched that film in a long time.
So Jingle All the Way.
Yes.
What is your one sentence review?
My one sentence review?
Yes.
That I'm about to make up on the spot because I forgot to create one. I'm glad we didn't watch Batman.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, really. I enjoyed this a lot more than I thought I was going to.
Hmm, interesting. I remember it being worse than it was,
mm-hmm.
but it is deeply flawed.
Oh, good, yeah, but it's a Arnold Schwarzenegger Christmas film. Most Christmas films, you know, if you really start to pick them apart, are well flawed. They just rarely make much sense.
I don't know. With the second film we watched, it's pretty good. Pretty solid to me.
What?
Home Alone.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah.
Spoiler for the next episode.
Very interesting comparing these two, because it's the same production company. It almost had Joe Pesci in it, Jingle All the Way, as the comedic relief, the Sinbad character.
Mm-hmm.
And very similar, like kiddie relationship, kids versus parents. But this is just really wrong-headed.
Wrong-headed?
Yeah, it's really wrong-headed.
You have to explain what you mean by wrong-headed.
It's bad at the basics.
Okay.
It takes capitalism and makes it the true meaning of Christmas.
Yeah. How is it not at this point?
Well, it's not nice, is it?
I disagree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the idea of, like, buying things for Christmas isn't, you know, the best. But it's the gift-giving part of it. You're not buying it for yourself, that's like bad capitalism. Mm-hmm. But when you're buying things for other people, you're buying gifts and you're bringing them happiness and joy that they wouldn't otherwise get to experience, then yeah, why not?
You're explaining it very nicely, but this is not how the movie portrays it.
Well, it's his journey to get the toy for his kid and have that kid experience the joy of like enjoying that toy. Yes,
no.
you can't shake your
because
head on a podcast.
Because that's not what happens in the movie.
It is. The kid wants the toy and he's trying to get it. That's it. That's the premise of the film. When you read the back of like the Blu-ray, that's what it says. Arnold Schwarzenegger tries to get a toy for a kid.
That's true. But what's funny is that, he's missing his karate classes. He's not there for a whole Christmas day. Shit like that. And then all the kid wants is a fucking toy.
Well, the kid wants the dad to be around.
Does he though? Because to me, it feels like he was that Thor dumb on the fucking dad.
No, that's not the case at all. Because he's really sad that he's misses stuff. The very start of the film, the dad misses the play.
Yeah.
And the kid's really upset about it. And then his dad's like, oh, but, you know, I'm around. And he's like, no, you missed this, you missed that, you missed A, you missed B, you missed C.
Yeah, and what he says is, promises, you should keep your promises. That's what motivates the Arnie character to go get the toy.
Yeah, what he doesn't want is for it to be another failure on the end of the kid's extensive list.
Yeah, but what's really a failure is not being there. So is this? He's sacrificing his day, his Christmas day with his son. That he could have gone with the parade. That's the other thing he wanted to do.
He ends up at the parade.
Well, through hijinks. Through comedy shenanigans.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just think the whole thing is just weird. It's just weird. Like,
I mean, there were definitely parts to it that are just odd. If you took it out of the Christmas context, I would know exactly what you mean. Like, if you called this film Black Friday the movie,
yeah,
then yes, everything you're saying is 100% correct.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's Christmas and it's fun and toys.
It was kind of fun.
It is fun. I enjoyed it, you know? It's a film that you would watch to get yourself in the Christmas spirit. If this was a standalone film and it wasn't holiday filmed, it would have come out, it would be Arnold Schwarzenegger, people would have watched it, it would have done okay at the box office, and then it would disappear into non-existence and no one would ever think of it ever again. But being a Christmas film, you will watch it again. And
yeah. The spirit of it, you're right, it should be a Black Friday movie. Has there ever been a Black Friday movie?
No.
There you go. We should rebrand this movie Black Friday.
Black Friday in the movie. Just cut out all of the Christmas parts of it and just have an entire film of people fighting in shopping malls.
You could still keep the Christmas stuff around because people are getting, you know, prepping for Christmas. You don't need to change too much. Black Friday, coming soon to your cinemas, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's gonna murder these sales.
Yeah. You can make that trailer like out of Jingle All the Way and Commando.
Yeah.
Just him with a machine gun. Oh, he's gonna get that toy.
No one's gonna be in the way. Rick.
Hello.
Do you like to listen to bonus episodes on patreon.com/IHateYourMovie?
I love it more than anything else.
It makes my life so good.
I've grown 12 inches since listening to...
Where?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Did you know that on patreon.com/IHateYourMovie, we have our best episodes on the show for £1 plus tax. You can enjoy all our bonus episodes we do every month. We do things like trivia...
Current champion.
Oh yeah, fuck you. I forget, I hate you. We do things like...
Random film generators.
Random film generators.
We've watched films like Resident Evil 3 and Halloween No One Cares.
Halloween 2, the bad one. The other bad one.
No, the other bad one.
Not the other bad one.
No, the other bad one.
We get movie suggestions from our patrons and much more.
More.
So join this great community of people for £1 plus taxes a month. Patreon.com/IHateYourMovie. What did you think about Arnie? Out of place, right?
Well, any comedy film he's in, he's out of place, to be honest. He's this massive guy. You know, he's clearly really into bodybuilding. He's got this really strong Austrian accent. And I've never really looked into him as a person, as an actor, and where he kind of started and ended. But at what point does he pivot to, like, 18-rated films, Terminator, Commando, and then he just suddenly switches to comedy and silly films?
It is about now.
Okay.
1996.
I can't think, really, of another actor that's made that just, like, jump. Especially not immediately.
Wasn't there, like, a in-between kind of more generic action movies?
Yeah, there was, like, Eraser.
Yeah.
I used to love the film Eraser.
Yeah.
We have to watch that at some point because I watched that film so many times.
Everyone has laser guns and...
Rail guns. He has
rail guns,
rail
yes.
guns, yes.
That should be what
rail
it's called.
Rail guns charge up on the side.
But for some reason that he erases whatever code or whatever, that's the main
thing.
No,
he erases people.
Who cares? Rail guns. It should be called rail guns! Exclamation point. part of it is also is that just based on how many of these violent franchises would turn into Saturday morning cartoons, I think a lot of kids still saw those very violent things. So I think the transition isn't that hard as you might think.
But name another actor that's done it. That's like in like hardcore.
Well, Stallone with the Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Yeah, well, let's not talk about that.
Do you know about the backstory about that?
No.
Because Arnie and Sly had a lot of, you know, back and forth. They wanted to get the same roles all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, Dredd, I'll do that. And they were like bidding on each other. They had this little competition thing. And Arnie baited him into thinking that he really wants Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. So he did Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
I don't think that counts. I think the only person you could probably take who skip ropes that line is Chris Hemsworth, because he's like comedy for action extraction.
I'd say I think Arnie's deeply miscast in this. Like, it's one of the worst castings I can. Well, it's worse in, like, if you want to make a real good movie. It's funny in this context, but I feel like this movie screams out for like a Chevy Chase or something like that, because you want the contrast of the everyman businessman turning into the superhero, right? You don't want the already very muscular, very big guy who's the businessman, and then he turns into superhero because it fits him already. You want the unlikely hero, the everyday man, to be in the Turbo Man outfit. And him sitting at a desk and making deals is comedic, not in an intended way.
I disagree.
Yeah.
I'm yet to know why.
The movie feels like it wasn't written for him, even though it was, which is weird. Like, it wasn't written in the mindset of a giant Austrian man. And sometimes the unintentional comedy in this movie was, for me, him being genuinely scary at points. Where it meant to be, like, comedic scary, you know, like, threatening someone. But because he's so giant and muscular, it actually comes off as a threat.
I disagree. I think it's designed for him to be big and scary, and that's the point of it. Mm-hmm. In those scenes where people kind of take him on for the toy, because I think that shows the desperation that everybody else feels to get the toy. Whereas if you have like a, I don't want to use Chevy Chase because he's a scumbag, but if you have someone like that in the show, then people rob him. It's just kind of like, oh, yeah, that guy's a weak guy and he's getting robbed. But if you say like, oh, this massive guy is getting bundled over and even he can't get the toy, then wow, that's really something.
I guess so. It came across like he hasn't fully made the R-rated transition yet when he's talking to people.
No, I thought that was what made it funny.
Yeah.
This massive guy just kind of like threatening people in a supermarket.
Was that what the filmmakers intended though?
Yeah, I would have thought so.
One funny behind the scenes about this movie.
Yeah, a fun fact.
A fun fact, if you will. There's not a lot of fun facts with this movie. This is the funnest of facts. It started out as a Planet of the Apes movie.
What the fuck?
So Chris Columbus wanted to make a Planet of the Apes movie with the studio, whatever this was, 20th Century Fox must have been.
Mm-hmm.
And they signed up Arnie, and because he had a contract, but they didn't like the scripts, any of the scripts, they're like, let's make another movie. Let's make a Christmas movie.
My second note is, very age-appropriate mum.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She knows how to duck in front of a camera.
Duck.
Yeah, do you not notice that shot?
No.
And there's that comedy shot of, it's like, you didn't forget the toys, did you? And then she's in the bathroom, and then she ducks for the camera. And then it zooms into, dollies into Arnie. It doesn't even zoom in, yeah.
Hits him square in the face.
Yeah, it's quite an elaborate fourth wall break when you have to literally duck to get out of the camera's way.
Don't see that in Deadpool.
So Jake Lloyd was the Turbo Man. He has...
The kid.
The kid, yes, Jake Lloyd.
We've never, ever been hung up on names before. You're obsessed with this Jake Lloyd.
That's what his name is. What do you want? He has a neighbor, a friend, another kid who looks like Augustus Gloop from Willy Wonka.
He does look like that.
And he has a creepy, weirdo dad, who's one of his first lines is...
You got it written down.
Because I was like, whoa. Because he says everything like this. Oh. With that affliction. And he says, I'm trying to do my impression of him.
God, I'm excited for this.
The kids look great, don't they?
I don't think that was a very good impression. I'm sorry.
Whatever. But the kids look great, don't they? In a creepy, weird, voice.
Can I try the impression? Yeah. Can I? Kids look great today, don't they?
You did the voice better.
Yeah.
You didn't do the attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kids look great today, don't they?
That's better.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not better, but it's more accurate.
It is better, yeah. See, that's why I'm a director and not an actor. Yeah, what the fuck?
I think they at some point they gave him a backstory. They gave him the backstory of, like, he's divorced from his wife and he's, like, sleeping with half the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's what he feels like.
He's always positive about everything. And you get, like, a really...
Sinister positive.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say, you get this, like, underlying kind of manipulation, but he never actually does anything.
He does.
Oh, apart
from a sexual assault. He doesn't do anything.
It was the 90s.
True.
That didn't exist then.
Well, maybe another fun fact now.
I'm so worried about where...
Is that, you know, that policeman who's a running gag with Arnie? He keeps destroying the motorcycle and blowing him up and whatever. Comedy hijinks. That was supposed to be a woman.
Okay.
And then the producer said no, because it should be someone who stops Arnie when he's driving home. He would actually pull over for that person.
Wow.
Yeah, that was the justification.
That's a good dark turn.
Yeah.
That's the implication that if you see a woman on a police bike, that you wouldn't stop.
Yeah.
Surely the sirens give it away. Maybe we've just come so far, like, in the 30 years since this film, that I just cannot conceive of hearing police lights and not stopping.
You used to ignore police women. It was great. Apparently, good times. Yeah. I guess like 25% of the law you can just ignore. Law enforcement.
Wow.
Yeah, creepy neighbor.
Creepy neighbor.
What's up with him?
He's a horny guy.
He loves eating her cookies.
He does. He loves them cookies.
Which is the most famous, funniest line in the movie. Well, the funniest delivery anyway. It's not really a funny line, but... Put the cookie down!
Oh, yeah.
That's very funny.
Even the way he says the cookies things is so good. I love your cookies.
I love your wife's cookies, that's what he says. First time I talked to that guy, I'd called the police. And I wouldn't have a good reason. Just check in his basement. Just check whatever is going on in his basement.
Check his laptop.
Yeah.
Search for, like, hidden files. Well, see what you find.
Check his Commodore 64.
In the 90s.
Was that too old for 90s? Maybe.
Probably,
Check his Windows 96. There you go.
He's got over 5 meg of files of porn.
It's on 400 different floppy disks. And it's 20 seconds of video. So, do you remember the karate presentation class? Okay. I was very confused about that.
Okay,
why are you confused? Because they make it out like it's a play. Like, oh, we're going to see the karate class today.
Yeah.
But it's just a class. Like, it's just a class. Because there's in karate, there's actually, like, presentations where you, like, learn a moves in a sequence, which you can, like, show them off.
Mm-hmm.
And then, no, they just did it like, do 20 of this. That's not... What?
Maybe it was a basic karate class. We're doing the punching bit today.
Yeah, but why would the parents go to see that?
No, I think the parents do go to see, like, the... When classes? They move. But it's not a class. He's getting his next band.
That's true. Yeah, that was confusing. Because you have to do the little show-offy thing to get your belt. I did hear a good explanation of why parents are always, like, impressed when they do... Like that. When kids do shit, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, like, let's say you had a kid like 6 years ago. Like 6 years ago, it wasn't that too long ago. You'd still remember that. Mm-hmm. Like this little thing that could barely move.
Yeah.
It shit itself. And now suddenly it's like doing karate and shit. And then like...
And shitting itself.
Shitting itself. And like the contrast is giant except the shitting themselves.
Yeah, so karate class. That's why.
Yeah.
What's the worst bit about it is Arnold Schwarzenegger's impression of karate in the bedroom. Oh my god.
Hashtag cancel Arnie.
Yep, absolutely. It's amazing that you could do just such offensive things back then, and no one would bat an eyelid.
Not even no one would bat an eyelid. It was a hilarious thing to do.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really, I genuinely like cringed.
Yeah.
Like, my whole body just kind of shrunk into itself.
What I didn't cringe though is Jake Lloyd's Amazing Bedroom, which would be, fuck you. The Phantom Menace, Little Anakin.
Yep.
It's pod race like pod racing. I can do this all day. That, Jake Lloyd.
Okay, cool.
A bowl cut kid. He had a little bowl cut.
He did.
Didn't he have them like the most amazing bedroom already? Which also made me not feel for him for not getting this one f***ing toy. Because he had like a giant Captain America plastered thing, toys everywhere.
He had like a literal, like a mural on the wall.
Yeah.
Like Captain America and stuff.
Fuck you, kid.
Yeah.
And then he really wants this toy and he's like, it says five things. That's lame.
It's not that many things.
Yeah. You couldn't program more things.
No, although I must admit, like, when I was a kid, I had the Thunderbirds Tracy Island that it all comes out, like, because the pool comes away and a rocket shoots out of it and another one takes off from an airstrip and all the trees bend over. And that only had five buttons. It said five different things. That's all it did.
I was the most boring kid ever with toys.
Yeah.
It's so funny because I was accidentally training being a writer. What I was interested in was always like drama. I was always getting these hand-me-down toys.
Okay.
Like, Spider-Man's missing an arm. So I did like a little doll play of how Spider-Man lost his arm. It was like a little drama. It's Batman. Batman did it. Fucking asshole.
Okay.
I also played with Barbies.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because you don't get many female action dolls. But in like a drama, you need like...
You need
a diverse group of characters. I was woke before. It was cool. I had a Batman castle.
A Batman castle?
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be the Batcave, but how do you translate that into a toy? So they just did like
bowl.
A Batman castle. And for like Hungarian equivalent of Halloween, I dressed up as Batman. And I took the main tower and just put it on my hand. I was like, I'm Batman.
Did you even have like a cape?
I had more things, but I thought that was like the central. That was my touch to it, you know?
Yeah. The classic Batman run where he's got a castle for a hand.
Yeah. Hey, don't show my originality.
What's the like toy you most remember getting for Christmas? Because like as I've got older, it gets harder and harder to remember what I got for Christmas. Like I could not tell you what I got for Christmas last year.
It's gonna get really sad.
Okay.
Because I never got anything for Christmas.
Aww.
It was always just hand-me-down toys, just random times when my cousins didn't want it.
Okay.
Got new shoes sometimes when they were like falling apart.
Can you edit just sad music into the back of this?
Rick has a tiny violin. Yeah, sorry, there's not much comedy in my childhood.
Yeah,
except a comedy of errors.
I was too busy thinking about my Christmases to.
Yeah, what? Go.
Well, I feel bad for saying.
I got this amazing.
Pretty much, yeah.
Go on, say it, guys. Bring it back. Bring it back to funny.
Well off. Can't bring it back to funny, but the one I remember the most of all, my dad got it for me, which is very surprising because it was always, I remember always remember Christmas with my mum and dad are divorced. They have been for as long as I can remember. I always remember Christmas at home, but I remember being around his and he got me like the original NES.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't remember asking for it. I don't remember it being particularly something I wanted because I've forgotten everything about kind of that period. I was very young. But I remember just being like excessively excited by it.
Yeah.
I remember being like, this is the best thing ever. That's my like most excited Christmas memory I've got.
Shows what your dad knows about you because you're a Sega kid.
Yeah.
He didn't know. You didn't know you're a Sonic fan. I don't know when I got it, but I had a train toy set. I remember that. But I don't think I got it for Christmas. I think it was another hand-me-down. But I remember playing that a lot with that, putting in loops and shit, and then watching it. It's not as fun as I thought it would be.
Yeah, I remember having, like, my granddad's old train set.
Yeah.
It came in, like, this really old, like, sleeper trunk suitcase thing that you would expect from, like, the 1940s. And, yeah, it took absolutely forever. It was like proper collectibles kind of one where the track was really fine and you had to kind of just get the pins in line and all that kind of stuff.
Well,
I remember it taking absolutely forever to set up. And then, like you say, you just whoop, whoop, goes around in a circle. All right, now what? You put it away again.
You put it away. I still would love that. I would love to put a track on my wall that goes around.
Yeah.
And then just have it on forever.
I'd want it to get me stuff. I'd want it to go from room to room. I'd create a dispenser in the kitchen that just like dispenses Cokes, like bottles of Coke onto it. Or just like a bit of cheese.
A bit of cheese. Every 30 seconds, a bit of cheese.
Just have like a cheese grater on the top of the train. It just grates a bit of cheese for me and comes back around.
And then you fall asleep and there's just cheese everywhere. Around the whole room is just cheese.
The whole train's like derailed. Should we talk about the film?
A little bit. Tangents with a hint of movie discussion.
He's gonna murder these sales.
Killer deals.
He's gonna get that toy. No one's gonna be in the way.
I'll let you live while stocks last.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
After I get the Turbo Man, I'll get that smart waifu maker.
Black Friday. Coming soon to your cinemas.
I just want one pack.
Police officer. How old is he? He looks like touching 70.
He looked quite old. I got the feeling it was kind of like a Dick Van Dyke situation. He looked old when he was in Mary Poppins.
And
he's still alive to this day.
Still weird. Especially, like, isn't traffic officer is one of the junior roles for police officers? And also, he changes roles all the time, constantly.
Yeah.
To conveniently, wherever Arnie has to be.
He's the traffic control guy.
He's the bomb disposal guy.
He's the bomb disposal man.
Maybe that's why they keep him around. He's the man of many talents.
Yeah, he's done everything.
They call him whenever a giant Austrian man shows up and starts threatening kids.
With violence.
So let's talk about the comic relief.
Oh, a typical comic relief doing his impression of Donkey from Shrek for 5-10 years ago before Shrek or whatever.
Yeah, he's annoying.
He's annoying and he was such a motor mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Every other sentence I could get, but I didn't really even understand him most of the time. It didn't really even matter. Because it was just whatever, blah, 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 blah. And that's the funny bit. Because he's constantly talking, that's the comedy.
Yeah, just insane ramblings as well.
Yeah.
He is like 2 steps away from having a tinfoil hat and like, the aliens are coming! Blah, blah, blah. We gotta get the toy because the aliens... Blah, 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 blah. It's that kind of level of stupid and annoying and... Blah.
Would you be surprised to learn that all of those were improvised?
Improvised, really?
Yeah.
Maybe that's a strong argument for scripting.
Yeah. Would it be worse if that dialogue was scripted?
Yes.
Yeah, it would. If someone thought about it and they still wrote it down.
Write it down and then ask someone else to say it.
Yeah.
Yeah, nah, it would be rubbish.
Yeah, so it's like typical comic relief. But like what's not typical is that he also turns out to be the villain.
Yeah.
Which was an interesting twist on the formula, I guess.
Yeah, he's just a knob though, all the way through. Like he's a mailman and he opens people's letters.
Yeah.
He opens, like, kids' letters to Santa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he has a little rant about that, and he's kind of like, yeah, are you seeing all these letters? Yeah, you can't get a slinky, your dad's being laid off, and you're a scumbag. Aren't I funny? And then, like, at some point, he's running, and he's trying to make himself lighter so he can keep up with Arnie,
yeah. The
incredibly fit Austrian guy that's running down the street. And he's, like, throwing parcels out of his bag to try and make himself lighter. What a dick.
The other side of this Sinbad character is that he makes you aware that he's a working man.
Mm-hmm.
Quotation marks, working man.
He's supposed to be like the blue collar alternative.
Yeah, but that also makes...
It makes it so much worse.
It makes it worse / like the whole premise worse.
Yeah.
Because they're contrasting Arnie, the guy who owns a business, is a giant muscular guy. He has a family. He has a son who has a giant Captain America thing in it.
Yeah.
Contrasting with the downbeaten mailman.
That's what I'm saying. It makes it worse, right?
Yeah.
Like, my kid needs the 17th toy.
Yeah.
And the other guy's like, I've missed my last like 3 Christmases with my kid. Like, I've been working to make extra money to make ends meet. I haven't got like anything to give him. Last year, I gave him a rock on a string.
Yeah.
But I want to get him that toy this year. It will mean so much to him. No. I missed his karate. Therefore, I need to buy his love. No, it's horrible.
Everyone is horrible. Basically, everyone's a terrible person. But yeah, why are they bringing all this up? It's like a movie wants to be flawed. Yeah. It's like they want us to think about the horrible realities of capitalism.
Do you know what the worst part of the film for that is?
Yeah.
Where they're sitting in the diner together, like Schwarzenegger and the mailman.
Yeah.
And this guy is describing his rubbish life and why he desperately needs this toy. And Arnold Schwarzenegger just completely switches off. Mm-hmm. Stops listening to him and imagines the mailman as his own kid.
Yes.
And he's like, oh God, I don't want my kid to turn out like this loser. What? At no point, there's no pity, there's no sympathy, there's nothing. It's just kind of like, oh, you're a scumbag.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a scumbag. But
he is, but the movie made him out to be. But the movie also wants him to be sympathetic.
Yeah.
Just one of the best scenes in this movie. It's a brilliant acting bit from Jake Lloyd.
Who?
You know who. Because we laughed so hard. We probably laughed harder than anything we've seen.
Oh, yeah!
When he's like, he acts drunk with the mailman uniform on.
Doesn't he like drink a beer or
he
something?
He drinks something and he slurs his words more than he usually does. What a weird scene just to put in. And yeah. Your kid is gonna be a drunk blue-collar worker because you didn't get him a fucking Turbo Man toy.
He gets arrested at the end as well. Yeah. Doesn't make it worse.
It does.
Now you're not gonna see your kid. You're in jail.
But he gets the toy.
Oh, he does get the toy.
But he can never give it to his son.
No, he can't.
It's pointless.
I was gonna sit in an evidence locker for the next 3 years till he gets out of prison.
What did you think of Santa Fight? The backroom black market Santa warehouse.
You mean the backdoor Santas?
Backdoor Santas. Oh, yeah. There was a song called Backdoor Santa.
They call me Backdoor Santa.
That's what the neighbor said.
Yeah, I thought that whole thing was pretty funny, to be honest.
It was pretty ridiculous.
It was very ridiculous, but it fit well with the film. I think if, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, I think if you're going to complain about the ridiculous part of this film, it's the end.
Yeah.
It's the very end.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a bit, but I felt like this was an extension of the rest of the film. Like, as the film ramps up in silliness, this is like going from a 4 to a 5.
Sure.
And then the end goes from a 5 to a 17.
Mm-hmm. The little guy they punch. They punch a little guy.
They do punch a little guy.
It's Vern Troyer.
Is it?
It's Mini-Me, yeah.
Wow, okay, yeah. Cool. I suppose they didn't get Warwick Davis.
No.
Warwick Davis is in everything.
Can you imagine Peter Dinklage doing that?
Peter Dinklage, wow.
I'm established actor, Peter Dinklage. I'm going to be punched and flown across the room.
Let's talk about the parade. Let's get to the end of this.
No, wait. We didn't talk about terrorism. I forgot terrorism happens in this movie.
It does. In a hilarious way.
Very hilarious. So when they're at the diner, they hear that, oh, they're giving away a Turbo Man doll at the radio station. You have to answer what the reindeers are, the names of the reindeers.
Mm-hmm.
You have to call in, and they keep trying to call in, but they, like, keep fumbling over each other.
Yeah.
So they just run into the radio station and hold the guy hostage.
The mailman just takes a random parcel out of his bag. Yeah, and he's like, this is a bomb. It's wrapped as a bomb. They're always sending it in the post. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. How would he know that?
He does. Well, that's the point. He doesn't know that.
But it turns out to be true. So he did know that.
But that's the comedy of it, you see.
Okay.
He didn't know.
Yeah.
And like, it's a pretend. Because I think he threatens Arnie with it in the scene before. And Arnie opens it. And then in the next scene, he does it again.
Yeah.
And then it actually explodes.
It actually explodes and all those people are dead.
Well, that's what you think, because the whole floor explodes of this building. You see it like go...
There's an outdoor shot of windows shattering.
Yeah. And you're like, whoa, that's dark. But then it cuts back to them and it's this guy standing there and he's covered in soot.
Yeah. And Arnie went along with the terrorism.
I actually thought this was quite clever.
Mm-hmm.
And I use that very,
like... Clever for this movie.
Clever for this filming. Because he doesn't say, yes, it's a bomb. He goes, that guy's insane. And then walks out. Which is true.
He doesn't want to implicate himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually a very clever thing to say. I'm sure it wasn't in any way intentional in the script writing process. But, yeah, it happened.
You know what's a clever thing to say?
It's turbo time. Turbo time. Parade?
Parade time.
Parade.
With all your favourite characters. Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
There was other famous ones.
There was.
Did you write down any of them?
No. No, I didn't. It was just a general parade. Parade of its time. I'm sure the Ninja Turtles were there at some point.
Yeah.
I don't want to end this. I feel like we've had fun. We've had fun today, kids. But let's talk about the real message and how stupid the end of this film is. So, if you haven't seen the film, and, you know, watch it. You know, you might watch this film, and if you don't want the end to be spoiled, then don't watch the first 5 minutes, because it's very predictable. But at the end of this film, accidentally, through hijinks, like Dan says, Arnold Schwarzenegger becomes Turbo Man, and he's in the parade, and he's on the float, and he gets to pick one lucky winner to have a special edition, extra shiny Turbo Man doll. But then, and okay, kind of fine hijinks, you know, it's dialed the silliness from 5 to 6.
It's very convenient as well. He accidentally stumbles into the Turbo Man set dressing. The main guy didn't show up by accident. And by accident, they also give away a Turbo Man doll.
And that's all fine. I can live with all of that.
Okay.
What I can't live with is that the Turbo Man suit that they gave him has a working jetpack. And he takes off from the float and flies around the city on his jetpack.
For many minutes. Did you get any, like, Iron Man 1 flashbacks?
A little bit.
Because he's fumbling around as well. It's very Iron Man 1 when he's in the silver suit, the first one. It's very interesting.
Yeah, it's how, like, Jon Favreau just designed the entire scene.
Maybe. I want people to take away my great homage to Jingle All the Way, the classic.
That's how the entire MCU started.
Yeah, Jingle All the Way. Maybe give the CGI people, artists, the footage for Jingle All the Way and just said, do this.
This is what I want.
This is what I want. This is my vision.
It's just stupid. Like, and then the villain shows up, the mailman, and he's somehow the villain because he's tied someone to a tree or something. I don't know.
Again, very convenient.
Yeah. And it no way explains, by the way, because the mailman, he's got left like 10 minutes ago. They haven't mentioned him. It never explains why the mailman knows that Arnie is Turbo Man.
Yeah.
He just turns up. He just decides to be the villain on the float and runs into Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, you could see it's him. You could see it's him, except his family.
And that's the other thing as well. Like, he's got a clear visor on his face. It's clear. It's slightly tinted yellow, but it's a clear visor. You can see his face. And when he picks out his own kid to win the doll, nepotism.
such hatred in your voice. Nepotism.
You know, oh, look, you picked your own kid.
Congratulations. Yeah, look. Fuckface.
The kid comes up to the float and he's like, thank you, Turbo Man. Who are you?
Who is this giant Austrian man with a Hans and Franz accent? Can't be too many people.
It's just the whole thing's stupid. Yeah, just start to finish. It's just so awful.
And then he gets kidnapped. The kid gets
the
kidnapped.
The kid gets kidnapped as well, yeah.
What does the insane mailman think was going to happen at this point? He's chasing a kid. At some point, they're on the roof.
Yeah.
And he gets away. He gets away, and then the mailman is like, give me the doll. Jake Lloyd starts running towards the ledge and says no, and I thought he's going to jump off. He's going to kill himself.
But he always does. He climbs the little like sign, doesn't he?
Yeah.
If this was a Sony film, that would be a Pepsi sign, by
the way. It was like a Christmas tree thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I was really expecting some like advertising, you know, some real product placement, but no. No Pepsi sign. I hate your movie, sponsored by Pepsi. And yeah, the end, you know, the kid falls and the guy jetpacks and catches him and it's all huzzah.
Who are you?
Who are you? And the wife comes up as well. You could explain, like, the kid's an idiot, start to finish. But the wife comes up as well. It's like, hey, stranger.
What if the wife gets the hots for him? And he's like, what are you?
It would be really funny if the wife gets the hot food, he takes off his mask and it's the creepy neighbor. I was Turbo Man all along. That was a bit Mr. Garrison.
That's pretty close.
And then the film ends.
And then the film ends.
And then he gives the toy to the the bad guy.
Yeah, for some reason.
Yeah, not explained.
Because suddenly it's not about capitalism.
No, I don't need the toy. I've got the real Turbo Man. Yeah. It's like, you do know, like, he's got to give that costume back, right? Like, you're never going to see that ever again.
Yeah. Also, he has a jetpack.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that flame is really close to his body. So I thought, maybe like the costume will melt on his body.
It shows it from the back. Yeah. And he's got like
missing.
His third degree burns.
And his ass is out.
He looks like freaking Deadpool under.
Yeah. There's one thing we didn't talk about.
Go on.
Punching a reindeer. Which is, I heard you enjoy that, bud. So I didn't want to miss it.
Yeah. The creepy neighbor gets a reindeer because he wants to lure the children to his house, I assume. I don't know.
I'm making this worse.
You just know from the start, like, that reindeer is going to come back to haunt him. So you know two things from the first 5 minutes. One, that Arnie is going to break into the guy's house, the creepy neighbor's house.
Because he has a Turbo Man.
Because he has a Turbo Man. It's under the tree right now.
Next to the 40 vibrators for all the neighborhood women.
Next to the whips and chains. And that the reindeer will somehow thwart him.
Yeah.
Because it's in his back garden.
Mm.
And yeah, 100%, that's exactly what happens. The reindeer charges at Arnie, and true Arnie style, punches it square in the face. No animals were harmed during the making of this film.
That was a pretty good reindeer puppet. It was very convincing.
Do you know what? That was the question I was going to ask you. Was that a real reindeer?
It was a mix between a real one when it was zoomed out.
Yep.
And it was moving really. But when it was like Arnie punching him, it was a puppet from the neck.
Okay.
And then someone was holding it, probably.
Mm-hmm. You mean you didn't really punch a reindeer?
It was the 90s.
Just do anything on film.
It did to get good animatronics, a good eyelid movement, it was, mouth, you know, and stuff.
It's probably the best thing about the film. It's what they put the most budget into. And then finally.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think we are the first people in history to watch the post-credits scene from, I've forgotten the name of this film, Jingle All the Way?
That's another point that maybe John Favreau was. Because where did post-credits come into being, right? When did they start? Surely they weren't around, really.
I just have a vague notion of them being around forever.
Yeah, I don't think so. We watch all the old movies we've seen. Amadeus doesn't have a post-credits scene when he comes out of the grave.
The first post-credits scene in a general release film was in The Silences in 1966.
Whoa. Okay.
Snoopy Come Home has a post-credits scene. Night of the Living Dead.
Oh.
But yeah, it was popularized by Marvel.
I suppose, yeah. So, has anyone seen this? Has anyone seen this post-credits scene?
No, I don't think anyone's ever seen it before. And it surprised me because you sent me the link on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised it was even on YouTube. Like, anyone's heard of it to upload it.
It felt a real kind of alternate ending kind of thing.
I disagree. I think it was pure sequel bait.
No way. No, well, there's no magical thing when you have to get a vibrator for your wife, you know? Like, that's not a different kind of turbo.
Me and you have very different Christmas lists. Now you're the creepy neighbor.
He has to get a different kind of turbo, man.
He is the turbo man.
That's not whimsical to get your wife a face cream or whatever. How do you make a movie out of this? How do you make a movie out of that?
You make it so, like, because it's not mentioned, you make it like, oh, their anniversary is also on Christmas or something. And then he has to get something.
It's not kiddie anymore.
Mm.
It's all adult. I think it was alternate ending, and then they just attached it to post-credits. Like, isn't this fun?
Mm. Okay.
It was a bit fun.
Yeah, I think it was a good finish.
Mm.
Finish strong, like Turbo Man. There is a sequel, you know that, right?
Yeah.
You know there is a Jingle.
It doesn't really count.
No?
It's one of those terrible cash-in 40 years later sequels.
Is it?
Where it has none of the original cast or ideas or anything like that. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like Kindergarten Cop 2, where they filmed Dolph Lundgren for 40 minutes around toddlers. And they called it Kindergarten Cop 2. You know, it's one of those.
Okay, yeah.
It doesn't really count, I think.
What would the sequel be to this film?
He gets the lotion. The factory is discontinuing.
That you put in the basket.
The factory is discontinuing this face cream. and he has to go and...
You're very two-dimensionalizing, like, the female characters of the 1990s.
This movie two-dimensionalized the female character. What was she about? What was her character? Mom.
Yeah. Cool. This was Jingle All The Way. This was Dan's recommendation.
Yeah.
Are we doing the pretend thing where I do a recommendation that we've already mentioned 10 times in this episode?
And the last episode as well.
And the last episode as well.
No.
My recommendation is Home Alone.
Yeah. I was against it.
Yeah.
I was against watching it because of, like, everyone fucking knows Home Alone. It turns out we remember a different kind of Home Alone. Yeah,
I do not remember, like, much of that film at all.
90% of it.
Right, cool. But we'll get into that next episode.
Yeah, that's just a little tease.
Yeah, we've got some surprising facts, some surprising reveals.
Surprising opinions.
And surprising opinions. So come back for that. Don't forget to like and subscribe.
What's your rating for this movie?
What's my rating for this film? It's a surprising 6. I tell you for why. Because Christmas films have their own category. You know, okay. It's a Christmas film 6 in that it has to be more than a 5 because I would watch it again. As a standalone film, as Black Friday the movie, it's a 3.
Yeah.
You know?
Now I'm going to have an AI voice read out all the movies that you rated below 6. All these masterpieces of classics. And on top is Jingle All The Way.
It's a 3. As a standalone film, but it's a 6 as a Christmas film.
That's funny, I would say 4 actually.
Yeah?
I was more surprised by it.
Okay.
I didn't like it as a kid. Well, it was stupid.
It is stupid.
Well, it is, but it's kind of fun stupid. But yeah, it's very flawed. I think if we want to make this movie for real, cast a regular guy.
I think if you want to make this movie for real, cut out the last scene or make it less extreme.
Yeah, and don't make it about capitalism and commodity culture. Consumerism. Christmas.
Bye.
Just one more before I go. This was Rick and Dan with Your Sucky Movie Sucks. I don't know how to say it in English other than it sucks. I hate your movie.